It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so I feel so good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. The Monday Golf Lifestyle Show is on the air. Thank you so much for joining, listening, and being a part of it. I'm Ray Adams, Craig Renshaw, our PGA of America professional instructor extraordinaire, and Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA of America's historian emeritus extraordinaire. I'm Ray Adams, your humble correspondent. Extraordinaire, maybe a small one. All right, thanks for joining. We're having a lot of fun already today. We've been doing some crosstalk here before the show, and lots of great things going on. This is Ryder Cup week. Well, long awaited, lots going on, lots to talk about. And I want to get the show started by saying thank you so much to Squares Golf Shoes. And I have a challenge for you. SQAIRZ.com, Squares Golf Shoes. You know my favorite golf shoes. You know my product, golf shoes, the Disruptor, the best golf shoes in golf by far. I've been advertising for them, partnering with them for many, many years now. Here's one for you, though. If you're going to the Ryder Cup this week, any day, anytime, wear your Squares golf shoes. And if you can take a picture of yourself wearing the Squares shoes at the Ryder Cup, send it to me, golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com. Who knows? There might be something, a little something special for you. And then, of course, for all of you that love to light up a wonderful cigar, some of the world's greatest cigars are at Certifresh Cigar, for corporate outings, for nonprofit outings, and of course, for the golf shops and sports shops and gift shops all over the country, CertifreshCigar.com. Simply the best. Been with them for such a long time. We'll be continuing on. And the Tally Tumbler, if you have a Tally Tumbler and you're going to the Ryder Cup, take a photograph of yourself with the Tally Tumblr and email it to me, golfadams@msn.com. And again, there may be a little something, something for you, golfadams@msn.com. All right. Today is the first day of fall. So much happening. And I remember on a winter's day a few years ago, I caught up with none other than Sir Nick Faldo. And we spoke about many things, but this is the part of the interview where we spoke about the Ryder Cup. Have a listen.
Sir Nick, I wouldn't be able to live with myself, and my listeners wouldn't allow me hang on very much longer if I didn't ask you this final question, and that is, what is it that the Americans are doing and not doing?
I know where.
Over the Ryder Cup. Why can't we beat you all?
You're thinking about it too much.
What is it?
Oh, my God. Analysis, paralysis of analysis. Yeah, here's the bottom line. When you're at one at Glen Eagles, America was 80 under par collectively for the week. I did the stats. And you were 106 under par, okay? In France, you were 15, because harder weather, you were 59 under par and Europe was 80 under par. Hey, I'd look at that first. You're golfers playing golf. So I would really look at that first. All this stuff that happens off the, in the locker rooms, in the team rooms. To me, it's a team of 12, yes. It's nice if you get along, but you only need to get along with one other guy or two other guys. And those are the guys you're going to play with.
Do you think it really matters who you play with, who you're paired with?
Absolutely. You have to have a partner that you think the same, you gel. That's the most important thing. You find a partner and you gel with them and you work together all week. And that's, you know, and then all this chopping and changing just doesn't seem to work. It's finding, you know, I had Peter Oosthuis for first couple of Ryder Cups, and then I went to Langer for the next one, and then Woozy, of course, came along. Woozy and I did two Ryder Cups together, or two and a half, three, yeah, and then Monty and then Lee Westwood. So I had like six really great partners, and that, and you played just about all of them. And the ones where I played really badly was where I got bounced around and got chopped and changed. And that, for me, is the secret. You find a partner, and that's what Europe's done so well. We obviously had the mega one of Seve and Lazarbal. I mean, that's, and then we had, of course, you know, I was in there with myself and Woozy and Langer and Monty. Between we six in that era, did an awful lot of the heavy lifting.
And it seems over the years, Sir Nick, that the analysts have said time and time again, on paper, the Americans are so much better.
Yeah, you are, on paper. But France was the most classic example. You came and played a golf course where we did have local knowledge, especially with the change of wind direction. The caddies had an awful lot of local knowledge. But again, you got a gelling. Who would have thought putting Molinari and Fleetwood together would be the secret? But we find a way of getting pairings, partnerships, which, you know, will last, stand the test of time. That's the secret. You're getting better. America's getting better, getting a lot closer. But France was amazing. France was not expected. I thought it was going to be like a point either way. And that was a shock for the second and third session where, you know, 7-1 was amazing. So that was not on the drawing board. But, yeah, that was the, you don't have to look much further than, hey, it's golf. You just got to hit it inside the other guy and hold the putt either on top of him for the half or for the win. Simple as that.
All right. Sir Nick Faldo, great American golf. Thanks for being a great English voice for us on broadcasting.
Sure.
Sir Nick.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. You heard Sir Nick. Number one, he said, we're in your head. The number two, have a look at your scoring. And then your partner is all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. And he used the word gel. And yes, Sir Nick named out several of the European players during a period of time. And Bob, you're our historian, but Craig, I know that you know this too. They did the heavy lifting, he said. They were the greatest European Ryder Cup players from, as I said, European Ryder Cup players maybe in history, and during a period of time, those five or six players were unbelievable. Let me start with you, Craig. What do you make of what Sir Nick says?
Well, him saying you're in your heads in a lot of ways is true. I mean, but this is what I've been saying for a very long time. This is the way I interpret what Nick says. It's not that big of a deal. It's guy put a ball on a tee, hit the ball, go find it, and put it in the hole as fast as you can. I mean, it that's what he's saying. You're making a bigger deal out of the pods, and you're making a bigger deal out of this. Okay. I mean, I would like to be on the Ryder Cup with a friend of mine. Okay, well, we had Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth with friends, and Ricky, and they're friends. Great. You got to go hit the ball and score lower. I don't see how that changes the game that much. That's my point. And whether we have a captain that wants to pick out uniforms or not, and whether it matches the shoes and all this stuff, it's ridiculous. You want to get somebody that wants to, get everybody together and get them to feel as a team. Great. But you're overblowing this. It's just not. And the other part of it is, on paper, we have a better team. That's because on paper, the PGA Tour events get more world ranking points than other events. It doesn't mean that we have the better golfers. But if you play more events here and you get in these signature events and you get in all these other events, you are considered better. It doesn't mean that you are a better player. It means you're just not getting those opportunities. And a lot of those DP Tour events doesn't mean they're not hell of a good player playing over there.
Well, or that you may be on paper as far as all of the personal individual player stats go, than the European team individual player stats. But when it comes to the actual Ryder Cup, and Nick said the partner that you are playing with, you only need to get along with a couple of guys during the weekend. You don't need to get along with everybody. So your partner is very, very important that you gel with that partner. But the American team may be better on all the individual stats, Dr. Bob. But when it comes to playing, he said, you better look at your scoring because your scoring hasn't shaped up to the European scoring. Bob, what do you make of what he said?
Well, that's certainly one of the understatements of the Ryder Cup and history. And I look back to just as simply as right back to Rome. I looked back to that pairing with Scottie Scheffler and was it Koepka? It was his partner. And they got waxed. And you'd think that would have been easy. But something when it comes down to just being comfortable out there with the guy you're playing with, that's where Europe is always an advantage because they are very comfortable with like their little fraternity. They're happy among the guys. And Nick says you got to have that one partner you're happy with. Well, I've seen some of these guys switch numerous partners and be just as fine out in the golf course. They are just comfortable. They're not over, like Craig says, they're not overthinking it. They're just playing golf, doing the best on their shot making, and they catch momentum. And when you're in the middle of that momentum in a team event, it's contagious. It happens every single Ryder Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this. We'll see, of course, obviously, who gets paired with who. But Sir Nick says you only need to get along with a couple of guys during the weekend, and you should gel. It is extremely important that you gel. His word. Okay, so Paul Azinger back at it again, Dr. Bob. He's not very sure that this Bethpage Black Golf Course was the best choice of the PGA of America because it's a public course and the players don't play it. And it may provide the players fits. What do you make of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's going to provide fits at times for both teams, to be honest with you. But that's just the nature of what they're facing in a tremendous municipal course, which is the first municipal course ever to host a Ryder Cup in the United States. And it's got a lot of nuances about it. A lot of the players who are on both teams have the ability to play it well because a lot of them hit high arch shots that come in sweetly to the locations. It's not an overly taxing slope greens. And the rough is unique. It's 30 acres of rough. Only one golf hole has a water hazard on it. And there's 76 bunkers comprising 8 acres of sand on that golf course. So they're cavernous in some points. But once again, are you comfortable on the location? Obviously, you don't have a lot of extra time unless you were Cameron Young playing that golf course. And you've known that course pretty darn well. But I watched the 2019 PGA Championship very closely. And a lot of these players who were in that PGA Championship performed very well on their golf course and came right down to one guy playing it better than the runner up. And it was just a two man thing for the stroke play at the end. But this golf course will just be, I think, after a day or so, I think they're going to get the butterflies and everything out of it. I think people will adapt pretty well, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, Craig, do you think that the American team and the PGA of America that chose Bethpage is Azinger right? Was it a decision that might put the American team in jeopardy because we don't play that golf course? What do you think?
Well, I think it's – I would ask Paul, when he captained in 2008, how many of those players had been playing Medina consistently?
Valhalla.
No, I believe he was at Medina.
Paul was at Valhalla.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, either way, you're right. I mean, I don't know because Valhalla is a private country club, and I don't think they went to Valhalla at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so did he voice those opinions to the PGA then? I mean, or not? So, well, to me, I think that's just – I can't use the word that I want to use. It's just it's irrelevant. I mean, that's just Paul wanting to create stir, and somebody asked him a question and he wants to create controversy or something. To me, it's an irrelevant fact.
I'm over here over my Black Witch's big metal pot on the fire. And you guys are seeing me stir the pot. There is a lot of stirring of the pot. I don't know about Zinger, whom I loved his commentary, loved when he was broadcasting, was there, watched it all. Bob, you were the 08 Valhalla Ryder Cup USA win. I interviewed all the players, la, 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 grown men do cry. But who knows? If he's stirring, he's stirring, Craig. I do know that there's others that are stirring, that this is going to be a very, very raucous. I even saw a sign where they put, this is the most difficult golf course, you know, only very experienced players, that famous sign. Somebody changed it to, beware, this is going to be an extremely raucous golf tournament, something like that. Remember? Did you see that?
Yeah. But Ray, would it have been raucous if they had done it in Oklahoma City? Would it have been raucous if we were playing in Detroit? Would it have been raucous if we had played in St. Louis?
No.
Yes, it would have been raucous everywhere.
I don't think so. No. Would the American fans been out loud? Would they have been boisterous? Yeah. I don't know if raucous is the word. I know that over history and time, the New York crowds can be, well, they can be, let's put it this way. They can be very assertive, Dr. Bob.
How about obnoxious?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't going to say that. I love New York and everybody. I've got great friends that
live
there.
Is that a good thing then, Ray?
If they're obnoxious, it's not good.
Well, then why? Then that goes to the argument. Then why would you put it someplace there that you think there could be something that looks there is easily something that could be, at the end of 3 days, we win, and all there is controversy with everybody yelling and doing that it was that way.
Well, I know
what would be the gain to that?
Well, I understand the question. I'd love to have the folks listening. Hey, write to me your comments about this, folks. Should the PGA of America pick Bethpage for all the reasons that we're talking about, location, the transportation, the small congested area? I'm not being negative. I'm being the most positive guy in America. I love the Ryder Cup. I don't care if you put it in my backyard on my putting green and they do a putting contest. I don't care, because it's the Ryder Cup. What I do care about, though, is our conversation, and it's fun to, you know, bat these things around or pitch or putt these things around using some golf terms, Bob. And write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Let me have your feedback. What do you make of it? Because, look, they could have put it anywhere else, and it would have been a different Ryder Cup, but it's going to be at Bethpage because it starts now, all week, and we're going to find out who plays who and when and where and how they play. And I think Sir Nick is going to be a very important to hear the echo of his words this week. Go ahead, Craig. Yes.
I've been a Dr. Bob. How long have you been a historian for the PGA?
10 years.
Okay. I've been a member for paying member for 25, been a member of sections for over 30.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that the PGA has always had over them is people have always questioned the golf courses that they've picked. And the majority of golf courses they have picked, in my opinion, I don't have any factual information to base this on, is totally based on money. That's all it's ever been based on. That's it.
Oh, yeah. You're right on it. Yeah.
Okay. Valhalla wasn't that great of a golf course when they put it there. They owned it so they could make more money there. They're putting championships now already at Frisco. We don't know how those golf courses, whether or not they'll be considered classics and modern great golf courses, but we're already booking stuff there and putting women's championships there already. We don't know how those golf courses come out. We can make more money this way. And that's what we're doing. That's why Bethpage was picked.
And how do they make more money? Let me follow up with Craig. How does a Ryder Cup make more money at Bethpage than they would at Medina?
Because if you remember, about 6 to 8 months ago, you were talking about how exorbitant those prices are because they will charge more for money.
Well, they would have done that anyway.
But they wouldn't be charging it that way in Oklahoma. They wouldn't be charging it in a couple other places.
Really?
The reality is they're making more money. The vendors, everybody is selling more or giving them more money up front, and that's the reason they do it.
I saw some tickets out there on the internet recently in the last several days into the five figures on the resale market. Bob, go ahead.
To follow up on what Craig was saying, the European side, when they are selecting our sites after the Belfry, which was one of their home site for their PGA of Great Britain at the time, they've gone to the K Club in Wales. They've gone to Valderrama in Spain. They've been to Rome now. They're going to head to other sites around Europe. And that is where it comes from. They have good cash flow, good sponsors, big time developers behind all of those. That's really a big part of it, why they can host those on locations rather than the traditional spot you've heard in the past.
All right. Now, I can tell you this. Bethpage Black is going to be, I think, a fantastic venue. Forget about all of the other, for a competition between two teams that don't play the golf course. I think the USA team knows the course probably a little better than Europe. But Craig, to your point, I think that you could pick Bob's Muni off in the middle of a cornfield. And as long as there was plenty of parking and room for the vendor tents, we'd have an unbelievable Ryder Cup. And the reason why we would, all the great players on both teams, the world and the Ryder Cup, watching the Ryder Cup, loving the Ryder Cup being the greatest golf event in history, maybe the most watched golf event in history. Bob, you can help us with that. But I don't know that it really matters where it would be, although there are some things about Bethpage that are going to be interesting to see how it all lays out. Now, the course itself. Craig, let me start with you. What do you think will give the players the most fits? The angles and the slopes, the overall design, what do you make of it?
I don't think the golf course will give the players fits at all, truthfully. I think it's a long golf course, but these guys are playing longer golf course. I don't think there's anything about that golf course that is going to give them fits. What will be the things that they can't predict would be weather. They will predict how the fans are going to react. That to me, the getting to the golf course and how early they have to get there as far as transportation and all that stuff, it's the all the outside stuff that is going to be their bigger problem. There is nothing about that golf course that is, oh my gosh, that's going to be, the green's going to be so much faster, or the rough's going to be so much thicker, or the fairway's going to be that much narrower. No, none of that's going to, they play that, they play it. It's not going to be that different.
Okay, Bob?
I tend to agree with Craig on that one, because this course is not, other than this length and this rough, and not what you call the most difficult layout when it comes right down to it. It has its features, obviously, with those sand bunkers, but it also has a uniqueness of where the traffic flow is going to be between throughout the golf course. Mm-hmm. It's 1,475 acres, that park, five golf courses, a polo field, picnic areas, bike paths, multiple pollinator gardens, and an equestrian center, all packed in one little package area. But it's got a golf course that has always been special. And how many times can you say when you walk up to a Ryder Cup, gee, I wish it wasn't a Ryder Cup today, because I'm a non-resident. I can only have to pay $160 to pay this golf course on a weekend. And residents say, oh, gee, it's $80 for me.
Is that what Bethpage is? If you're not from New York at all and you fly in and you want to go there and play a round of golf, are you telling me it's only $160?
For a non-resident, yes, sir, for a weekend.
Well, that's dirt cheap for a course like that. Now, see, here I go.
But you're not going to fly in and get a tee time, though, Ray.
Well, okay, let's say you get a tee time, however you have to wait a year or whatever. Or you get a buddy that lives there to get a tee time for two or four, and you fly in and play. Okay. So you pay your $1.60. This is what I would call an every golfer rate. I love this. I did not know that, Bob. This is great. What concerns me, and I sounded off about it, I was positive. I mean, I'm not beating anybody up over here, but you want to go play a public golf course called Pebble Beach. You want to play Torrey Pines. You want to play Erin Hills.
PJ Frisco.
Get your money out and a load of it. You're dipping into retirement funds. This is legacy money you're going to have to pay. It's insane. This is not public golf. This is not golf for every man, every woman. It's just not. 80% of America cannot afford it. And others that could afford it won't pay it. So I don't know, Craig, where am I going wrong?
Well, Pebble is not public. It's resort.
Okay, but anybody can go play there if you stay at the hotel.
True, but Torrey Pines, the resident rate is quite low. You know, I think golf, when you see our sport, while we can say we're snobby or whatever, how we want to say it, we've been a sport of the rich for hundreds of years. Our sport is not cheap to upkeep. And there are towns all over the
Yeah.
place that try to do this on the bare minimum. And I'm saying they're great. We need all these golf courses. We need places like Kenny Mack. That is a great golf course.
We love Kenny Mack in Tempe. I mean, I grew up playing there. Papago is a City of
We
Phoenix course. Yeah.
need places like this. And that's part of the growth of the game and keep people playing. We need that. But the reality is, when you got to cut, 200 acres of grass and do all the things that you need for our sport, it can't be done on $10.
Yeah,
It
this is
just
not
can't
like,
be done.
yeah, we're not taking care of a tennis court or a pickleball court. That's a completely different maintenance event. It is millions of dollars to keep up golf courses, and especially the elite courses, no matter whether they're public or private. Hey, we're getting ready to go into overseeding. Now, I know that Florida probably doesn't do that at all unless you're out there on the in the panhandle or whatever, but certainly all over the desert Southwest, you're looking at overseeding where we put in winter rye. This is millions of dollars to do this. So no wonder golf is a little bit more of an expensive sport. And of course, it's gotten much more expensive over the years. And we are at, big tee time numbers. We're at big golfer numbers. The game is growing. Yay for golf. And I'm excited about it. So if you're going to play in an expensive place, it's a special outing. That's travel money. That's save all year, holiday money, once in a lifetime bucket money, those kinds of things. Otherwise, your local golf courses all over the USA are probably very, very affordable. Bob, final word on it.
I'm just excited to see the a course that had did so well in past majors. The PGA of America had a good championship there. I'm just like to see this, and I hope that the crowds don't affect the part the play the flow of play by being obnoxious. That's what I'm more worried about right now.
All right, guys, I'm going to go out and take a little break. And I thank you all listeners for hanging in there. Listen to these sponsors. They make the shows happen, not just the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, which will air on Golf News Net, Arizona time, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then it'll be there two or three more times on golfnewsnet.com. 1.5 million people go to Golf News Net website every single month, and more and more and more. We're looking at upwards of 80,000 listening to the radio shows. You go to the radio tab, you find this show, Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. You find my other show, Saturday Mornings, Great American Golf. And then after that, as I've said, these radio podcast shows that are sent out to the big audio platforms where they live, and you can hear them on demand streaming forever. Same thing with television. You go to the TV tab at golfnewsnet.com. Then you go over to Roku and Amazon and Fire Stick and Apple and all the other big video content platforms where you get your TV. So we're going to go out. These sponsors have some great messages. Have a listen. I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
All right, greetings. Welcome back, everybody. Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. He's our historian in residence. Craig Renshaw, he's our PGA of America professional and instructor professional in residence. I'm your humble correspondent, Ray Adams. Here we are. So if you have anything you want to write to me, golfadams@msn.com for Craig or Dr. Bob, go for it. I've got a very special guest coming up in about 12, 15 minutes, and we'll have some fun introducing you to not only a new sponsor, but a product that you are not going to believe somebody invented this. Yes, there's a patent. Yes, you will not believe this product. It is elegantly simple and beyond needed by you and by me. Even tour pros need it. They do. And the price point, I'm shocked at how affordable. Did I tease them enough, guys? That's coming up a little bit later in the show. And the founder and inventor will be on with us. Let's keep going. Craig, the Champions Tour winner, Doug Barron. Boy, is he an interesting person going all through his career, up and down and back and forth and up and down and on the tours and off the tours and on the tours and off them. And then he finally gets to the Champions Tour and wow, everything changes for him. And he knows how to play some serious golf and win not only on the Champions Tour, but a major on the Champions Tour. And he wins yesterday. What about this, Doug Barron?
Well, he is definitely somebody that you would call, you know, somebody that is a journeyman golfer, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a top junior growing up, and it tells you how hard this sport is and, you know, how much dedication it takes to be able to continue to play in this game and do well. Yeah. He's won, you know, 3 times on the Champions Tour. He's won 6 times on other tours, but he, you know, he continues to grind. He makes a nice living, good golfer. And he's the perfect golfer in a lot of ways because he shows that your game is up, your game is down. You have to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And the dedication And the tenacity that he has to keep going out there and doing it says a lot for Doug.
Well, listen, Doug Barron is like so many others over the decades, Bob, that have been a journeyman player. Steven Alker, another one. Nobody ever heard of Steven Alker. Now, Tom Lehman said, we heard of him because he's been a great player for a long, long time. But yeah, the general public really hardly ever heard of Steven Alker. And then look what happened to him. There's a journeyman that kept, I mean, unbelievable career in a short time on the Champions Tour. And we can go down the line through history of these journeyman players back and forth, up and down, on and off the tours. Then they hit the Champions Tour and wow, pay dirt, payday, victories, money, unbelievable. So I like Doug Barron because I think recreational amateur golfers like me can relate to that kind of golf. I mean, we're up and down and on and off and up and down and on and off all the time. We're amateurs. And what we love to see is that it can happen to the touring pros as well. Bob, 30 seconds on it.
PGA Tour champions has always been the mulligan for a person in their career. It's always been a second opportunity for those that just missed out on what happened on the regular tour.
Yeah. All right, Craig, you sent me some information and I read it and I was a little surprised, but I want you to take off on this because we're talking about the Champions Tour. We're talking about Doug Barron going to Q School during his PGA Tour career, back and forth, playing the developmental tours over the years, PGA Tours here and there, and then finally getting to Q School and playing on the Champions Tour. But you say that the PGA Tour Champions has announced there is no Champions Tour Q School anymore. Tell us about this.
Well, it looks like that they are going to get rid of Q School for the Champions Tour starting this year. So there won't be anything coming starting next year. It looks like it was just announced. A friend of mine, fellow teacher that has been always looking to do that, that they are going to get rid of it.
Does that mean in December? Does that mean in December there will not be a Q School going on? Now, I know it's been in Scottsdale at the TPC numerous times, and I've been there, interviewed the players, but does that mean we're not going to have a Q School this December?
That's the way I have read it.
Boy, that just cut the legs out from under a whole bunch of people out there that are looking to qualify for the PGA Tour Champions, Craig.
Yep. And you know that they're cutting the qualifying stuff. They haven't cut Q School, but they're cutting the money qualifying on the PGA Tour in a lot of places too.
Well, we're talking about scarcity. Yep. That's one of the three pillars.
So what you're doing is you're getting more and more of a closed shop. I'm not saying that there's one person that periodically makes it vice versa, but they are definitely closing ranks, and you're not going to have as many feel good stories as you may have had in the next few years. That's just not going to happen.
Okay. Now, we know that our new PGA Tour CEO, we don't have a commissioner anymore, we have a CEO, Mr. Rolap, has said that his three pillars, he's building the future of the PGA Tour, and I'm presuming this includes the PGA Tour champions and the other various PGA Tour owned products around the world, are going for scarcity, parity, and simplicity. And we're going to see how all that plays out, but it's already playing out as far as scarcity. And here's another one. My concern is, and you tell me, gentlemen, Bob, I want to start with you. Is this the beginning of the end of the PGA Tour champions, or will it go back to where it began decades ago, as merely an exhibition tour to showcase the greatest legends of the game? And it won't be that fierce and big of a platform and big of a product as it has been. You tell me.
I just believe it's run its course for economically. That's the way I look at it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Craig?
I agree. I always looked at the Champions Tour as a way to spread some of the wealth that some of these guys, when it first got started, that carried the tour. It was a way of giving them an opportunity to continue their golf game, but to make some money in a retirement fund and all this stuff, because they were the ones that carried it, but in a lot of ways never made any money.
And they sure did. They made millions, many of them.
And the part is, I don't know that the PGA Tour champions was ever more than a loss leader. I don't know. I mean, I've been to some of those events. I don't know if they ever made money, Ray. I really don't. And now the tour is doing stuff, and this is the way that they're going to start to just slowly, you know, fizz it out. And with the way some of the money's being made right now, do we need it? I don't know. But as we've said, do you see Tiger playing? Do you see Phil playing? Do you see, I mean, a lot of these guys aren't doing it. So where is it going to go? Do you see Jordan Spieth playing in it? Do you see Justin Thomas doing it, or Rory? No, it's, so where is the game going at that point?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out, because scarcity is the big deal, and there may be more scarcity on the PGA Tour champions. I certainly hope not. I love the PGA Tour champions. I've had all those guys on my TV show over the years, and you're talking about the legends of the game, and people want to see those people. People want to see those golfers, and I hope they continue on in the Charles Schwab Cup Championship coming up in November. I'll be there, of course, filming and interviewing and bringing everything to you right here from Phoenix Country Club in Phoenix, Arizona. And by the way, first day of fall, we're getting some nice big rains here, everybody. And so watch out. Call your golf courses if you're playing in the desert area out in the Southwest, from Vegas to the Palm Springs and Palm Desert area to the Phoenix, Tucson areas. All the hot, dry desert areas are going to be overseeding. So you don't want to roll up to your favorite golf course and have it be closed. Make sure you call if you're living in those areas and you want to play. And overseeding is underway. We've already got golf courses that have started or will be starting, and that usually means they're closed for about a month. So another word to the wise on overseeding. Okay, very quickly, we only have a few more minutes in our segment today for you two gents. And that is, Golf Digest has released their top 50. Golf Digest has released their top 50 best teachers in the country. Now, they've also released a list of the best teachers per state. And I went through all of this and looked at a number of different names. And they even released how much some of the very top golf teachers charge for lessons and time and whatever. Mm-hmm. My eyebrows went up and down a little bit, but hey, everybody, a workman is worthy of their hire, and a workwoman, because there are many wonderful women teachers on the list as well. Bob, you did the homework and the research. Can't wait for Craig to weigh in. What about Golf Digest top 50 for 26-27?
Well, the interesting part, obviously, is a lot of new names on there. There's two names at the bottom and the tied for 50th that are close friends of mine, Dr. Allison Kurt and Will Robbins, both from California. Very creative, made their names in a lot of different ways before they even got to this point of being selected for this unit. So there's a lot of voting that goes on, a lot of decisions between a quite an interesting panel. And I think that's what's unique about the Golf Digest. I have always found it's a very active, respected list. And I've always felt that regardless of what maybe people say, that these people have held their own for many years. And now you can see a new generation, I think, coming in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. Well, Craig, I saw teachers on there at $1,500 per hour. I saw, now these are world famous golf instructors, coaches. So I'm not going to name names, but we all know you can go find the list. What is it? Golfdigest.com. Go to the website, find the list, look at it, find the teachers in each individual state, your respective states, and see the great teachers that are listed there by Golf Digest. And you'll know where to go to a great, teacher near you, and you can click in there. And of course, obviously, if your local course and teacher that you've been going to, your instructor is not in Golf Digest top 50, is not in the top teachers of individual states, and you can go to the website and find out all that. It doesn't mean that they're not just as good as a teacher. It just means the peers vote on this. the golf instructor's peers vote on it. And it even shows you how many votes and all that. So there's a name at the very top, though, who I don't know that a lot of people have heard. And I believe he was also number one the last time around, Bob. Who is that?
Mark Blackburn.
Mark Blackburn. Craig, do you know Mark Blackburn? And you can tell us about him.
Yes, very nice gentleman out of Greystone in Alabama, I believe. Very nice instructor. I've had a couple discussions with him. He's been very cordial. Teaches some very nice high-profile players.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good teachers out there, Ray. There really are.
And they don't have to be in Golf Digest Top 50. They're still great teachers. And Bob, you know, maybe you can get a hold of Mark Blackburn and we can get him on the show. Would love to do that. I'm sure he's in demand, but we can plan it around his schedule. And even though it may be a couple months out, let's see if we can get Mark Blackburn on and maybe a couple of others. But some of these hourly rates, Craig, I mean, you tell me that's just, and again, for the recreational golfer, I mean, unless you're loaded with money, you're likely not going to be able to afford some of these incredibly fabulous world famous teachers. I mean, I saw one that was $15,000, and I don't remember if that was for the day or for multiple days at their golf academy. I know other big names, famous golf teachers and coaches, $600, $700, $800, $900. Some of the less expensive ones were around $4,000 and $5,000, you know. So, you know, it isn't cheap to go to these big, huge named golf teachers. But if you can get one or two lessons in with them, and you could go down the line, you know, the 48th person on the list and the first person on the list, yes, they're different. They may have a different swing philosophy, but you're going to learn as much, if not more, from either one of them, no matter what the rates are. Craig, am I right or wrong about that?
Well, you're going to learn something from any instructor, I would tell you. You know, the thing about the pricing is you have to understand that it's almost the way Q school went. When Q school was, you know, started out, anybody and their brother that wanted to attend Q school could attend Q school. And they kept raising the price. And the next thing you know, you got somebody that was a 25 handicap that could pay $15,000. And they did that. And lo and behold, that messed everything up. But they were doing it. Then you had to prove this and you needed a handicap and everything. A lot of these guys and girls that are teaching, unfortunately, want to work with a specific kind of clientele. They don't want to work with an every average day golfer. That's just the reality of it. Mark is not working with everyday golfers. He's working with negative handicaps, and he's working with professionals, and that's all he's working with. And that's what he wants to. So if you want to get a golf lesson from him, you're going to have to be on that list to be able to get somewhere. If not, that's just not what you're going to get. It's not a whole lot different than if you wanted to get, you know, the best computer salesman or the best mechanic, somebody that works on, you know, tour the F1 cars. You're not getting them to come work on your car here unless you're going to pay them that money, because this is the area that they're focused in and really have a lot of attention in.
Well, and Phoenix being an incredible market for PGA Tour players, LPGA Tour players that live here, practice here, all of the golf courses, we have one of the largest golf markets in the world here in Maricopa County, Phoenix, Arizona area. There's some amazing, amazing golf teachers and coaches here. You know, the LeBoves are here. The Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen are here from Vision 54. And Tina Toombs is here playing with and for Ping Golf. And we love Ping Golf, and shout out to Ping for being a sponsor. We thank them so very much. And all I can tell you is I appreciate so much Troon, because Troon, one of my sponsors also, shout out to them, is the Troon golf courses that are managed by Troon around the country are very much full of great, great PGA and LPGA instructors. You just can't go wrong anywhere. The only thing I do encourage is find a PGA, LPGA certified instructor. Find those great instructors, and you're going to have your local pros, your local instructors provide you with all of the golf instruction that you need. Right, Craig?
Absolutely.
And there, you're hearing it from a lifer. He's a lifer, Bob. All right. I'm going to give you guys a couple, one more minute. Bob, final word on the Ryder Cup. How should people watch the Ryder Cup? How do you watch a Ryder Cup? Split it into two. You've been to so many. You've covered many. I've covered a few. How do you watch a Ryder Cup if you're there at Bethpage this week in New York on Long Island at the Ryder Cup? And then how do you watch it if you're not able to be there and you're going to watch it on TV? Let's split it up, 30 seconds each answer.
At home, it's not a big issue. You put the recorder on your television, so you have that with you. You can always go back and forth if you miss something. But at on site, you better be watching a vantage point and then moving one hole ahead to get another vantage point. That's the only way you're going to be able to follow, because the action is so condensed with 40,000 people out there, and you're going to have to really pick your spots to be able to watch and keep up with the matches. And you will sometimes probably have an app you're going to be allowed to carry on your phone, so you can certainly keep up with the scoring. That's the key thing.
Well, and here's the thing. There are so many different rules and regulations that are on the Ryder Cup website about, if you have tickets, here's what they're going to be looking for. Here's what you can bring in. Here's what you can't bring in. All of that sort of stuff. So we want to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. Craig, final word to you about watching it in person and watching it on TV.
If you're watching it there, you're going to have your walking shoes on. And as Dr. Bob said, be able to get out in front and try to find a spot. It's continually moving. It's going to be a long day. Enjoy it the best you can. It's getting to the point where I think this is definitely an event you want to watch on TV. I think it's definitely more fun to have a couple big TVs and just be able to watch what you want on this weekend.
All right. Ryder Cup week. We're going to be back with you right in the middle of all of it on this coming Saturday's Great American Golf. And boy, is it going to be a Great American Golf radio show. Craig and Dr. Bob, if you want to stay on, I have a wonderful guest right now. You're going to hear about a product that you're not going to believe, and you're going to want to give to every golfer in your life. He is Owen Quinn. He is the inventor. He is the founder of Found It Golf. And yes, he's sitting right in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, because there he is out of the San Francisco area, the Bay Area. Owen, my goodness, he looks like, what does he look like? Alec Baldwin? Or if he had a beard like he did the other day, he looks like Scottie Scheffler. Owen, welcome to the show. You're joined by Dr. Bob Denny. He is a historian emeritus for the PGA of America. And you are the inventor. You're the founder. I know that your father's involved with you in this whole project, but you have your patent in place on Found It Golf. What is it, and how did you come about inventing Found It Golf, the product?
So Found It Golf is a lost club and lost golf gear recovery system. So basically, we make circular life stickers that go on people's clubs, and I have a club right here to show you guys. So I don't know if you can see.
We can.
Okay.
We can see it. Our radio podcast listeners won't be able to see it, but they're going to see it soon enough, because I'm going to be sending it out to everybody.
Okay, but
it's a sticker with a QR code that goes on the end of your grip. And what happens? What happens?
Okay, so basically, once you put on your stickers on your clubs, you register them on our app. You have to buy the subscription to the basically the account to be able to access the app.
And where do they do that? Where do they do that on? How do they get their subscription? And then you send them the stickers, and you send 15 of them, one for 15. Every club in the bag, and one for your range finder. And
one for your range finder.
Where do they go? What's the website? And can you give us a general roundabout of what they need to do to get their product and their subscription?
Yes. So you go to figolf.com and you get 15 laminated stickers that go onto your clubs. And yeah, so from there we send you 15 stickers. The reason why it's 15 is you're allowed 14 clubs in a bag,
Okay.
and then fit the extra fit one is for like a range finder, or yeah, for a range finder. And yeah, you get your clubs registered, and once you get your clubs registered, then once a scan happens and once someone finds your club, then when a scan happens, you get an instant notification sent to your mobile phone or whatever you have available, and you get a direct notification sent to your phone that your club is lost.
This is a fabulous new product, Dr. Bob, because think about the millions of golf clubs every year left. If you're on vacation, you can lose them on the turnstile at the airport. They can fall out of a bag. You take many, many golfers riding a golf car, their partner will let them off at their ball, and then they'll take two or three clubs with them. They pick the one they want when they're over at the ball. And then they hit a great shot, and they've got to go quickly find the ball, and they forget they laid down one or two clubs in the grass or wherever, and they forget about them. And so people leave their putters, their wedges, their drivers on the tee, on and on the list goes. But millions of golf clubs are left behind by golfers everywhere. We know the PGA and LPGA Tour pros have lost their clubs. They have had them stolen. Wouldn't it be great to have the Founded Golf stickers with the QR code on the end of the club? Someone finds them, they're able to go in and alert you immediately. Hey, I've got your club. Owen, what about it? What a great invention for every golfer on the earth.
I appreciate it, Ray. And yeah.
Well, and golf clubs, I mean, municipal courses, resort courses, private country clubs. You have worked at private clubs before. You're a member of a private club. We all know. Tell us about that. That saves time for the staff, too.
Yeah, it does. I worked at a very, very high-end golf club here in California, and man, I just thought to myself, we have a bin of 50 to 100 clubs. Why is that? And so I just said, hey, why can't we just make a product to get those clubs back? But obviously they can't get back. But anyways, get a product out there onto the market where people go and say, hey, this is kind of like club insurance. Why don't we go ahead and buy some stickers? And what I think is the key part of this product is it's also about privacy, right? Like we want to protect and protect everybody's data. And so you don't what's cool about the idea is you don't have to show or you don't have to show your contact information on the app. The user or the subscriber has the ability to show or not show your contact information. And we have an in-chat system, so your club you can have an anonymous chat with the person that found your club or the outside services person that retrieved your golf club.
Well, it's an ingenious invention, patented. You want to go to figolf.com, everybody. Make sure you, if I told you the price point, you'd be shocked. I can tell you that it is a very, very, very fair pricing. I'm talking about inexpensive. And you are insuring your golf clubs that if anybody finds them, if you lose them, wherever you lose them, someone finds your club, they're going to be able to get in touch with you. Your privacy is going to be protected, and you're going to be able to get your clubs back. So, and clubs are they're very expensive. We know that. I mean, even the most affordable golf clubs are rather expensive. And of course, we all have our favorite putter, pitching wedge, driver, what have you, in the bag. And if we lose that because we're using it the most, out there, then those are the clubs we probably would lose or leave behind the most percentage of time. So, FIGolf.com. Owen Quinn, thank you so much for joining me today. This will not be the first time that we hear from Owen Quinn. He'll be back on with us numerous times going forward. You're going to hear me talk about it. You're going to get emails from me if you're on my email list. If you're not, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. I'll make sure you get on the list. Owen, thank you so much for joining, and thank you for creating FIGolf.com, Found It Golf, and using that great QR code technology. So simple and so important to keep our clubs intact. Thanks, Owen.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, Bob, there he is. What a very nice young man, super intelligent, and what a product to be able to help us all keep our clubs intact. And talk about golf clubs, I want to thank Tour Edge Golf, all their new logos, the new look. They have things that we want to be talking about here very, very soon. It's already been out on social media, but there's a new Tour Edge ball. There's some other things that are going to be announced very soon. I'll be having John Claffey, their vice president of marketing. He'll be joining me from Tour Edge Golf. I've already had Tim Clark, the president. Tour Edge has been with me many years, and I want you to go to touredge.com, and make sure that you have a look at all their fabulous golf clubs, accessories. The new bags are amazing. And have a look at their new look, their new modern updated logo and look at touredge.com. Bob, final word.
I'm glad we're finally getting around to the Ryder Cup. If we've had it, there's so much talk. Let's get it down and let's see some play. What do you say?
Well, that's right. There's been so much banter. I mean, people hurling, team members throwing some things out there. I think they call it in sports talking smack. Yeah. And there's been a lot of that. There'll be more during the practice rounds, but I'm sure the players are all going to have a great time. It's an honor and a privilege for all of them, and we will be honored and privileged to have a Ryder Cup in the USA at Bethpage Black on Long Island, New York, coming up all this week, beginning, today. All the coverage on television, have a look. And we'll be back with you on the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show. And if you want to write to me through the week with questions or comments about the Ryder Cup, golfadams@msn.com. Dr. Bob, thank you so very much today. What a great show. And we got to remember, what did Sir Nick say? We're in your head, the European team. They're in the Americans' heads. And what about the American scores as to under par? And are you going to get a partner that you can gel with? Mm-hmm. And that's up to Keegan Bradley. We know Luke Donald's going to do it.
Dance with the one you brung.
There you go. All right. Everybody, have a wonderful week. Play some golf and enjoy the Ryder Cup. And we'll be back with you in a few days for Great American Golf this coming Saturday morning right here, airing on thegolfnewsnet.com and then on all of your favorite audio platforms on demand and streaming there forever. Back with you soon.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.